B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
People who have not watched him play and they see highlights of him running around making plays, they're automatically going to say, wow, he's a great athlete. But hey, come on. This is the NFL. You've got to be able to make plays from the pocket NFL. Man, give me a break. He makes all his plays from the pocket. I talked to Lincoln Riley about this guy all year, just like you. And I said, comparing him to Baker Mayfield, ability to process defenses quickly. Very similar, he said. Ability to read coverage and make quick decisions, get the ball out and throw accurately. Very similar. The difference is that this kid, when he pulls it down, you better hold on to your hat because it's Reggie Bush. This is not Deshaun Watson running. This is not Russell Wilson running. This is Reggie Bush.
Patriots will draft at 32 in the first round. Two NFL draft experts, Bucky Brooks, Daniel Jeremiah, both of their current draft boards have Kyler Murray, quarterback, going to the Patriots at that spot.
Wow, dropping all the way, huh? Falling to 32.
They got him falling. We read to you earlier Phil Perry's assessment saying that the Patriots have a realistic shot to get Kyler Murray at 32. That he could be the rare guy that has some value as quarterback that drops down the board. A big, big debate on Kyler Murray is his height. First debate is, how tall is he? Listed at 5'10". Is he 5'10"?
He says he's 5'11". Oklahoma listed him at 5'10".
Oh.
That means he's 5'9".
5'9".
5'8 and a half.
5'9". 5'9", Kyler Murray.
It's like Sosie running around throwing.
Earlier today, Ian Rappaport had this tweet, making a point from one GM last night that told Ian Rappaport this, that Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray has the power to dictate his draft spot like no one since Eli Manning.
Please.
Which is so ridiculous how Eli Manning was able to do that.
Right.
Because of what?
Your daddy ruined.
Why? Because of daddy?
Yeah. Peyton, look at the situation Peyton's in. I want to be in a good situation.
Like, what real leverage did he have? Other than, I don't want to play for you. And you don't want to have a quarterback who hates your team and doesn't want to play for you. Right.
The Oakland A's listed him as 5'11", 190.
They're being generous. They're trying to recruit him. So
he's going to combine, right?
Eli Manning.
This will all be put the rest at the combine.
This GM told Ian Rappaport, if he so desires, Murray could tell a team primed to draft him, don't bother. I'll play baseball. Adds a fascinating dynamic that Kyler Murray could go into the draft and tell teams whether or not he wants to play for them. Now, there is one report that the Arizona Cardinals could drop from number one, trade back somewhere around 10, and take him there. He would probably find that to be a good situation because they'd plug him in and let him play right away. So if the Cardinals want him, this goes out the window. The Patriots don't have a shot.
Right, but then they have a shot at Josh Rosen, potentially.
They do, because then Josh Rosen would probably be freed up for a trade. That is a possibility that we talked about.
That's almost more of a possibility than Kyler Murray falling to them at 32.
Going all the way back to January 10th, when Anthony Becht had this tweet, throwing this out there to chew on, folks. Cardinals trade Rosen to the Patriots. Patriots get a first-round quarterback on the cheap. Cards draft Kyler Murray and get a decent draft pick in return. Pats get their future Tom Brady. Hashtag very Patriot-ish.
Well, because of the value.
That was on January 10th. Yeah. That was a month ago that he had that tweet.
And Nesson reported last year that Belichick was interested in Rosen before the draft.
There you go.
Well, I think they were interested in all the
guys. When you say Nesson, is that
Doug Kide?
Doug Kide had it. Yes. Oh, I mean, that's a real reporter. You know, Nesson.
It was April 18th, like, I think, was a report last year.
You'd be like, who? What? Nesson?
That was when all the Gronk and Brady and all that stuff was going on.
All right, so that's a legit report. That's Doug Kide who had that. That's like the one legit reporter I know of that works at Nesson. Does anyone else work there? Is there any other name that I would know?
Zach Cox?
Oh, yeah. But same beat, though. Patriots. Like, is there a Celtics person at Nesson?
No, they don't cover
Bruins?
Celtics. No.
Even the teams they have the rights to. Is there a Bruins beat writer for their website? I don't think so.
They have a nice girl.
I mean, they might. No disrespect meant, but when I think of Nesson, I think of their Patriots coverage is pretty good. All right, so there's that. And then there's this from NFL Research on Twitter. And this just continues to be part of the push now for how great Kyler Murray is. Again, this coming since yesterday when Kyler Murray pretty much put his intentions out there to be an NFL quarterback. Listed at 5'10 by OU Football, again, 5'9. The Kyler Murray had 5 passes batted down last season per Pro Football Focus. That's tied for the fewest among the 4 QBs in the Move the Sticks top 50 prospects. The other 3 are all listed at 6'3 or taller. Those other 3 being Drew Lock, Daniel Jones, and Dwayne Haskins. So now the short quarterbacks have fewer batted balls than the tall ones. That's
in the last 10 years, quarterbacks who are 6 foot and shorter have had fewer balls batted down at the line of scrimmage than quarterbacks who are 6'1 or taller.
That is the dumbest thing you will hear all day. I promise you. You will listen to 4 hours of Felger and Maz. You will not hear something as stupid as that quote right there.
Correct.
That is moronic. That's so stupid. So entirely stupid and worthless. And we can come up with a total of 3 guys that have been listed under 6 feet. 6 feet or less. Drew Brees, Tyrod Taylor, and Russell Wilson.
That's it.
3 guys?
It's got to be more than that over the 10 years, but yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's about it.
Little Dougie Flutie back there.
By the way, Kyler Murray played in the Big 12, right?
Check around, gonna make a play. Little Dougie's gonna run around all day.
Big 12 had good defense last year, didn't they?
Hey, Flutie Band was playing at the pregame party.
What'd you say? Good defense in the what?
Big 12. They had really good defenses last year, right?
Did they? I don't know.
I don't know.
You know better
Tom
than
and I were picking overs in those games all
every
year long.
Week.
72-65.
You feel like you had some sort of thing going there with Flutie. What was that?
No, it was a little.
I know what you're thinking of.
He did the pregame party.
What do you mean?
Flutie Brothers band. They were jamming at the Patriots pregame tailgate party.
Oh, that day of the game?
Yeah.
Jim said he saw him in TSA line.
He was like 2 rows in front of me at TSA going through that like windy thing.
Yeah.
Is he decked out in Pat's gear?
Decked out in Pat's gear.
Yeah, Pat's hat, Pat's shirt, Pat's
pants.
Baseball
season's coming. He'll be in Red Sox gear with his Red Sox with his glove going to games.
I can't believe he played that many years in the NFL watching him. Well, every time I turned the corner around those ropes, I'd see him walk by. I'm like, wow, he was a quarterback for years.
Little guy. Look at you down there.
Little guy.
I like Doug. Doug's a good guy.
Running around back there trying to make a play.
Yeah, little Doug Flutie.
Little Dougie Flutie.
Yeah. Yep. Music, Jim?
All right. I think he's searching for it.
Jim's searching.
I think he's searching.
You know what happened. He plays some music and then do the Flutie thing. And he hits all
but that's never been done. Has that been done at this station?
Oh.
Or is that a Providence thing?
Oh, I think it was. We've a little bit of here, a little bit there. For the old place across the street. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, he did a little bit of there. It's all right. So.
He's looking.
He can throw it far, man. Little dude. That thing was 63 in the air. Hail Mary.
This is the music that you like to play when you talk about Doug Flutie?
Right.
Because what, he's running around trying to...
Yeah, because it's like all hell breaks loose. And it's just like, you know, chicken with your head cut off. Go make a play, man.
All right. But you believe that Kyler Murray is better than Baker Mayfield.
I do.
And will be better than Baker Mayfield.
I mean, Baker's played in the league now, so you kind of get an understanding of what Baker is. But I think he's got more upside because of the legs. And I think he can make all the throws Baker makes. Like, Baker can make the throws. Seems like Baker's ball hung more, right? I saw Murray at times really drive the ball well over the middle of the field, and that's saying something. Downfield strong throws. Zinging it. What? What
are you laughing? No, I'm just laughing. I'm just thinking of that big.
Gonna run around, make a play, check the ball, throw around, running all day. Gonna run around here, miss a block over there, and I throw it down the field all day. Cause I don't know what I'm doing there, run over there, and I throw it there, throw the ball in the air, and I'm little Ducky Flutie gonna run around, make a play.
Drop
kicking through.
Yeah.
Statue. I got to figure out. I got to slide the Statue of Liberty in there. We got to do all the trick plays. Oh, Dougie Flutie, run around. Yeah.
Came across some like club remixes of that song while I was trying to play.
Took you long enough. Jesus, shit.
Oh, I used to have it easily accessible 12 years ago in Providence.
I was
going to
say,
it's
typically a Providence thing that you did that. I don't think you've ever done that here.
It's been a while. Shocked in the ticker, went around the flea flicker, and I kicked the ball through the uprights.
Pretty much, yeah. Scatterbrain, right? Let's go.
Going to keep the coach up all night.
Oh, my God.
I think we need full lyrics for you to sing by the end of this show.
Oh, no.
We're good.
Not bad.
Nice job.
Oh.
I'm out on this thing, though. I'm down on Kyler Murray. Nope.
What do you mean?
I'm a heightist.
Oh, you're a heightist. Okay.
I'm a heightist.
Okay, I got you.
Short quarterbacks.
If he's there at 32, you got to think about it. Right? I'm not saying trade up to get this guy.
That's the one reason I'm torn on.
Now
if he falls into your lap at 32... No, it's like,
you need a quarterback.
Damn,
man.
Too much collateral. You have too many picks. You need outside help. What's going on with Hightower? What's going on with McCourty? Who's your next tight end? You got too many needs you got to address. What if you don't sign Trent Brown back?
We're going to get to all those things today. We're going to get to all that stuff today, and we will.
There's a lot of storylines with the actual roster.
We'll do that this hour, and let's do this. We'll get right back to your calls after the action update.
Now a look at the numbers with the action update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Brent Musburger's action update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The Warriors have won 15 of their last 16 straight up, but in that run, they are only 7-8-1 against the spread. The Utah Jazz is 14-4 in its last 18. Against the number, it is 10-7-1 in that time. Tonight, the Warriors are 8.5-point home favorites against the Jazz. Although the Celtics have won their last three road games, they were against the Cavs, Knicks, and Hawks. It's tougher tonight. They're catching 6 points at Philadelphia. The over-under is 226. For the latest odds all the time, visit VSiN.com. From Las Vegas, I'm Ron Flatter. This has been your Action Update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports.
Reminds me of that Papa Americano song from a few years ago.
Every time you hear that song now, I gotta think of Doug Flutie. It's the Benny Hill song, right?
Yeah. Let's go to your phones.
Kids are like Benny Hill. Hey,
Wayne's in Yarmouth. He's got a Celtics thought today. Wayne.
Well, no, you guys asked the question to Sean about, what's the coach's role in bringing this team together? I don't think all this is just gossip. I think there's some issues here. And, you know, a lot of us want him to succeed. We think he's a great guy, but he seems to be more focused on giving all these guys player minutes than maintaining a consistent pattern with just a few of them. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think he's become, to a large degree, like a minutes manager right now, and there are guys who are getting too many. Gordon Hayward is chief among that list. Like, fewer minutes for him.
Yeah.
You know, he might be a lost cause for this season. He might be.
And I know they need to get him back to what he
should
be.
Play him less.
But now all of a sudden, I mean, you're Stevens. You're feeling the heat a little bit, right? It's up to you, okay? All right, I got to start adjusting some things. I think it's going to be telling tonight. They come out and play really well without Kyrie. They need Kyrie, though, to win. It'd be more of an indictment on these damn young kids. They come out and jam tonight, and these kids play together, but they can't do it with him. Like you could just see the dysfunction in a good way because you're winning. You come out, win the game tonight,
right?
Beat a good team in Philly. But why can't you play like that every night when Kyrie's healthy and out there? You know?
Tommy's in Milton on Kyler Murray. Tommy.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hi. Good.
Hey, listen, question for Zoe before I get to Kyler Murray. Zoe, have you watched Clayton Thorson out of Northwestern?
I saw a little bit, not a lot, though. I watched a kid from NC State. There's a kid from Duke.
Finley.
Coming out that's really good. The Oregon kid's good. Washington State, all of them. I haven't watched a kid from Northwestern.
Yeah, they say they have a couple of mocks that have him, the Patriots drafting him in the second or third round.
Yeah.
So, I am intrigued by Kyler Murray. I just wonder when McDaniels takes over, how the offense is going to change its direction as far as, instead of the quick outs, how much are we going to stretch the field in that?
Right.
And I don't know what you think of the tight end class, especially coming out of Iowa. It seems like pretty good.
That kid coming out of Iowa is really good. Really good. Yeah. So, yeah, I hope they get him. What are you laughing at?
Oh, nothing. We're doing a little work to prove how ridiculous that stat was about quarterbacks and blocked passes.
Yeah.
We've come up with a list of quarterbacks that are 6 feet and under who've started a game in the last 10 years.
Good.
How many guys do you think are on the list?
Four.
10 years.
Four. Yeah, we went back 10 years.
10 years.
Yes.
And just all, one,
how many midgets have started? In the
one
league?
Start? That's all they had to have gotten? At
one start or more.
I'm going to go four.
There are 10 guys on the list.
There's more than four, yeah.
Wow. Really?
And,
yeah, just two of them are the guys
we named. Than 6 feet?
Two of them are the guys we named: Drew Brees, Russell Wilson. Those are the marquee ones. Oh. Also,
Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor's not on this list.
He was 6'1". That's right.
Okay, so he doesn't count.
Right,
he's 6'1"?
Or 6 foot.
I saw Tyrod Taylor. He's pretty big.
Michael Vick is on the list. We forgot.
Oh, bullcrap! He's like 6'2". There's no way he's shorter than 6 feet.
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor's listed at 6'1".
I remember standing next to Vic. Vic's a big dude.
He's listed at 6 foot.
Okay. He's bigger than that, Jim.
All right,
then. I'm sorry.
I don't think he is.
There's no way I put Vic in that.
I saw Vic at the Super Bowl.
Did
6 feet even.
I saw him at Radio Row.
Well, what's McNabb?
Yeah.
What's
thought did you of see him? Yeah, he's 6 feet tall.
Did you see him?
What's thought of him McNabb?
He's hanging out right next to us.
Yeah.
Mm. You want to hold tall Donovan McNabb?
Yeah. Yeah. Find out how tall he is for Zoe. Here's a list of 10 guys.
Donovan McNabb Brees, is 6'2".
Brees, Wilson, Michael Vick, and then it goes down into the list of trash. Johnny Manziel, Troy Smith, Thaddeus Lewis, Seneca Wallace, Kellen Moore, Chase Daniel,
and Cleo Lemon.
Connor Shaw. Who was Connor Shaw?
I don't remember him. Was he a Pitt kid?
Who was he?
Cleveland.
Yeah.
Connor Shaw. I don't remember Connor Shaw.
South Carolina.
I don't remember him.
I think it was Alshon Jeffrey's quarterback at South Carolina.
Zero recollection
Connor
of
Shaw,
him.
That's right. We're number 10, didn't he?
So that's the list of guys. So that list of guys had fewer batted balls than every other quarterback that has started in the league in the last decade. You think? You've got 10 quarterbacks, and we're going to find out the number of how many other quarterbacks have started. 10 quarterbacks versus, I'm guessing, 150.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's my number, somewhere in the 150 range. Been a bunch of guys who've started games in the last decade in the league. Let's go to Jake, who's in Rhode Island today on mock drafts. What's up, Jake?
Yeah, hey, fellas. So it's just kind of important to remember that, like, this time of year, like, before the combine starts, before, like, I don't know, like, they get more deep into the evaluation, like, especially in a year with a weak quarterback class, usually, like, guys are getting mocked a lot lower than they end up going. Once the combine happens and once, you know, GMs are getting desperate, yada, 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 that's when you can see, you know, some of these, you know, kind of these subpar guys. I'm not calling Kyler Murray a subpar guy, but you'll see guys that shouldn't be going top 10, going in the top 10. And just, it's, I'm not saying that he can't fall to the Patriots because, like, Lamar Jackson fell last year, but, like, the order the quarterback's going is not going to look this way in, you know, 2 months.
Okay, very possible and obvious. I think that happened last year, Jake. You saw the way that Baker Mayfield went up and up and up the board. The thing that I look at this year is who needs a quarterback? It feels like there are fewer teams in the market for a quarterback right now than most years.
You're top heavy.
The Giants, I think, need a quarterback. They want to draft a guy.
Like, does Arizona really need a quarterback? Like, if you got Rosen and if you think you're a good coach, you should think you should be able to coach that kid up. You know what I'm saying?
But you're right. It's like there are just teams out there where you think, okay, they need a quarterback. They need to. Well, do they? You really stop. Like each team going down the list, including the Patriots need to draft a quarterback?
No.
No.
They don't need to. The team that needs to is the Broncos.
Yep.
They need a quarterback. Dolphins, they're going to be in that same spot. Dolphins and Broncos, to me, come to mind. Arizona doesn't like the guy they drafted a year ago, so they're going to draft one. Do they like need a
so
new
what do
one?
You do?
They don't need a new one, but they're not going to continue with the one that they drafted because the.
I don't think they like who they drafted a year ago.
Yeah.
It's nice to have the GM that picks the quarterback but then fires the coach because the quarterback didn't work out.
Can you imagine that? Yeah. That you drafted a quarterback in the first round last year and you already are done with him? And your team doesn't want him? What a waste.
Yep.
What
and his name's not Tim Tebow or Johnny Manziel.
What a waste.
No, the kid can throw. I think the kid can throw. I think he's brittle. I think he's got something about his attitude rubs you the wrong way. I don't know what it is. It's like from day one, just entitled, sort of. You know, kid could play. Played at UCLA. Threw the ball well as a young kid there. You know, struggled with injuries and had some issues later. But played better when he was like a sophomore.
Redskins, could they need one?
Yeah.
Alex Smith, he's not playing anytime soon.
He's not even.
Burke says he may not ever play again.
Yeah, I believe that.
His leg's in that brace.
I believe
With screws in it.
But which means you're going to need a quarterback, and you're probably not going to dole out a bunch of cash to do it.
Oh, my God.
Probably need to draft one.
You have to let those holes in his leg.
So there's like three teams that really. Oh, God.
Those screws, they go right through into your bone.
I know.
I played with a guy in Maryland that had that. Snapped the leg the same way. And those screws come out, and they used to take this 4-foot piece of gauze string and pack that hole, you know, from where you end up scarring yourself because there's a hole to your bone. And you have to have this medicated string that they pack that hole with. And we'd sit there and watch them pull that string out, then dip it in this solution and pack it back in just so it doesn't get infected. It's a long recovery.
Mark is in Medford. Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey. Well, you sound down. Is this because Pastrnak ripped his thumb apart?
Yeah, you know, just when the Bruins are moving up in the standings and they're playing better. And you go to a freaking sponsored dinner and you fall down and bust your thumb and out for 2 weeks. My question is, who the hell are they going to put on the second line with Krejci now? Are they just going to spin the wheel of fortune and whoever it lands on, hey, you get to play with David Krejci?
I mean,
I'm sure that's gonna thrill David Krejci.
Him, yeah.
We know how he feels about playing with inferior talent.
But say it's worse than what you think when you go in there and look at it. Is there a chance you could put him in that like that long term IR and do something like what the Blackhawks did a couple years ago? You go out and you're able to bring somebody in of high talent? I don't know.
How long term? No, he doesn't have a long term injury.
No, but I'm just saying, what if it's not as what if it doesn't respond?
They're gonna reevaluate in 2 weeks. Okay. No.
Yeah,
no.
Just like
McElroy from a year ago. Did you hear in the update? Did you hear in headlines?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Did you hear? It was like a police report. It was incredible.
Yeah.
It was like the police report of the like rundown of events from Sweeney.
Yeah. Just got this news in. It's a sponsored dinner event. David Pastrnak fell. He had a procedure done on his thumb. He'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. Continue to move forward.
He must have fallen hard. Right?
It caught a curb or you're falling or hit a door. Like, how do you pull the thumb back? Or?
Like he's a young, physically fit, healthy man. Like,
You must have
really hit the deck hard to do that.
Brady ripped apart his throwing hand. It was playing 2 days later, right?
Right. And it cut the skin because it bent the thumb back so hard. I was with my buddy in Faneuil Hall. And he must have hands in his pockets, knocked his teeth out because he felt good.
Significant damage.
He's drunk. He tripped on the bricks.
What did he do?
Fall down.
Went on it.
Help, I'm falling. I can't get up.
It looks like it hurt.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Getting ready to get to Rob Gronkowski here. I just want to make sure, as I sit here and I look at Marty Walsh preparing you for Snowmageddon again, the big 3-inch snowstorm that's coming. Get all of your products that will make you French toast. Milk.
Is that right?
Milk, bread, eggs.
Those are the things.
Right? That's what you get.
You know what I suggest?
Milk, bread, eggs. Don't forget syrup.
Bag of Oreos. There you go.
Bag of
go
chips.
Go buy yourself a bag of chips.
Get the football.
Bag of Oreos.
Get the French onion dip.
Get a little
football.
French onion dip.
A hell of a good.
Milk, eggs.
Milk and
that
eggs.
That crap's overrated.
I don't even eat milk and eggs. Why would I go out and get milk and
we've
eggs?
We've got, before we get to Gronk.
Like, really?
We've got the numbers.
Oh.
The 6 feet and under. Again, can we play the clip so people know what we're talking about? This moronic statement from Kirk Herbstreit. Talking about stats.
Well, this is from Todd McShay.
Sorry, McShay.
Oh, I'm Todd McShay. All right, get all these number guys. One breakdown.
All these guys confused. Daniel Jeremiah, Todd Bucky McShay. Brooks, McShay, Herbstreit. Now I don't have to worry about Mayock anymore. He's got a big boy job.
Who's the other one, Jim? That big mom.
Sorry. This is.
What's his name?
Trent. McShay. I wanted to say McVay, not Sean McVay. We're talking about Todd McShay.
Todd McShay.
McShay. Local guy.
Another
Boston guy.
Another pinhead.
In the last 10 years, quarterbacks who are 6 foot and shorter have had fewer balls batted down at the line of scrimmage than quarterbacks who are 6'1 or taller.
Come on. This is all the selling of Kyler Murray. So we got the numbers. We got the list of guys who are 6 feet and under who've started in the last decade in the NFL.
Plays in a freaking Big 12 where they got 6 foot six linemen. Of course the kid can play.
Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, Michael Vick. Those are the three guys that were regular starters in the NFL.
That's it.
Okay? Then you get to Manziel, Troy Smith, Thaddeus Lewis, Seneca Wallace, Kellen Moore, Chase Daniel, and Connor Shaw. Do you know how many starts total, even including Brees, Wilson, Vic? How many starts in the last decade those guys had combined, Zoe? 362. And then I said, well, how many other quarterbacks were there that were the over 6 feet, 6'1 and up? I guessed 150. I nailed it. Exactly 150 other quarterbacks.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There were 362 combined starts for the short guys, the little guys. And then there were 150 other quarterbacks who started in that decade, making a combined 4,647 starts. Do you think they might have a few more batted balls than the 10 guys with 362
Probably.
Starts?
I'd say yeah.
That had less than one-tenth of the playing time?
Don't you think Todd McShay is better
stat.
Than that? Don't you think Todd McShay is better than that?
Stupid stat that is.
Why do you have to have him have that
stat?
Get
out of here with that.
McShay's good enough to watch tape, and he watches enough tape, because I do respect him. I think he does a good job at what he does, evaluating talent. You know the kid can freaking play. That's all.
Useless.
Just watch the game.
He did say that this was given to him by ESPN Stats and Information.
Of course it was.
Still,
I'm not blaming him.
You hand it to me here. Thank you.
He wants to sell the guy, and he used the stat.
It.
It's a dumb stat. Don't buy that crap.
You're better than that, McShay.
Don't buy that crap. Anyway, on Rob Gronkowski, I don't know if you caught it last night, but I was watching Burt Breer on NBC Sports Boston, early edition. He was talking about the guys he's talked to recently. We read a quote from Devin McCourty on Brian Hoyer earlier.
Sure did.
He was quoted in that Breer story. So Breer obviously has been talking to Devin McCourty in the last few days. I think he's well connected to a number of Patriots on the team, number of players. And it sounds like Devin McCourty's future could be determined based on what the pay cut is.
Jeez.
Same could be true for Rob Gronkowski, could it not? Do you think maybe these guys are both in the same exact boat?
No. No, I think Devin is probably leaning more towards retiring than Rob is at this point.
Because Bert said that Devin also added that he wanted to see how he felt.
Right.
So you think McCourty is more leaning on the side of retirement than Gronkowski is?
Put a lot into it at the end, won it with his brother. Pretty much lived the entire contract, drafted as a Patriot, finished as a Patriot. I think it's, yeah.
Meanwhile, he said that his brother, Jason, still wants to play.
Interesting. Well, it got a taste of winning.
He doesn't have a contract, by the way. He's not property of the New England Patriots, so he would need to re-sign or find a job elsewhere.
Or be happy here and take what they give you.
Maybe he would be.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing that sort of pulls Devin to play again, wouldn't it be his brother?
Yeah, and also his former coach at Rutgers.
See, is that a good or a bad thing?
I think at this point, you become such a pro and you've won three rings looking at a guy like Devin, then none of that matters.
Can I tell you something?
It's Bill's defense.
Devin and Jason McCourty could teach...
Shiano.
Could teach Shiano more than Shiano could teach them.
I agree with that.
That would not be, ooh, we want to play for our college coach again. It would be good for the team in that they would be helping him more than he'd help them.
We're coming back in out of respect for Bill. And Bill wants us back at a good, decent number, a fair number. And you know what? We're going to give it another go. I can see that.
Greg, let me teach you how to talk to NFL players. Let me yeah. teach you how to deal with guys who are professionals. And we're not in college anymore, okay? And Devin McCourty can sit there as a guy who's been around for a decade and say, Coach, let me help you. Let me help you.
Teach me.
Let me teach you how to be a coach and connect with guys, because you have sucked at doing that. You have. I don't know that you got the communication thing down yet at the NFL level. So let me help you as a veteran who's a respected voice in this locker room. Let me help you do this job. Let me show you the ropes. Nice. Just a thought.
Could be.
Just a thought. And so that sort of trade-off would mean that Greg Schiano couldn't be as hard on the McCourtys as maybe he'd like to be on all of his players. Because he's a complete hard ass, as we've learned over time. So there's that. I think the money could be a big factor, though. I think it could be. Depends on what the team wants to pay these guys. They certainly are not going to pay them at their current money.
No, they're not.
No. It's not going to happen.
A lot of people in that ballpark.
What about a guy like Dante Hightower? You mentioned that earlier. What happens there?
I mean, you talk about a guy that's had more impactful big games in Super Bowls than this guy or any other linebacker in the history of the sport. I mean, marquee-type plays to help you win championships playing linebacker for this team. Three of them. Three big spots. The Atlanta one, the strip sack, the tackle of Lynch on the goal line, and just destroying tight ends and clogging holes and bringing pressure in his pass game. Almost had that pick to start the second half on the first play of the half. Obviously, he's got the knee.
Is that something you want to pay $11 million for next year, which would be the most he's ever earned?
I don't know. Hell of a captain, hell of a leader. You know, guys love him in that team. So is that something you want to mess with or piss off? I don't know.
Ken?
You're starting to really dig into, if you lose McCourty, you lose Gronkowski, you lose the other McCourty, you know, then you lose Hyde. You're really mixing up the makeup of your football team.
And the cash out is $8.5 million. It's $8.44
million. Yeah.
But the cap number is 10.9. The base salary next year is $7 million. The base salary in 2020 is $8 million. If they were to cut him now, there'd be about $5 million in dead cap.
Remember Juwan Bentley for number 51? It was hurt.
Yeah,
he's on IR.
We assume he's coming back.
He should be coming back, and he's got a lot of upside to him.
Well, I think all this also ties into the money that's going to be required if they want to get serious about Trey Flowers.
See, and Bill went up to Trey Flowers too, and some of that mic'd up stuff, and mm-hmm. he's like, "Hey Trey, love you." He said, "Nah, I love you, Coach Trey. I love you." 3 points. Three freaking points. Like, Bill doesn't forget that. Like, that's his guy. You can tell they're gonna take care of that guy. Can't let that guy walk.
You cannot. What do you have left?
If you let
him leave, what do you have on your
defensive
line?
Let other guys leave and they won.
What do you have?
Center, we do that. Like, you can't let
seriously,
just one guy leave.
What the hell do they have?
They won Post Butler. I mean, shoot.
What do they have on their line defensively without him?
He's your motor. He's your edge guy. He's everything. Just a grinder. Strength.
He's your
power.
One stable piece.
Yeah. And you know this.
He is your one young, stable piece within that defense.
You know this. He's only getting better. It's not like he's peaked. And now, you know, you're going to start to plummet. You're going to see, the guy's got too
No, he's
miles.
About to enter his prime.
No, he's on the big upswing, man. You're just making a turn with this guy. Stop and get a hot dog and a Coke. Let's go. Get ready for that back nine.
Hot dog and a Coke.
Yeah, to
the back nine.
Right there at the turn.
For the turn.
I do a Diet Coke. Maybe I get a beer.
Yeah, maybe a beer.
Beer and a sausage.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
We can't do everything. We all need somebody. I've been roaming around, always looking down.
So good. Alicia Keys, two pianos.
And if I wrote this song, I would have flipped it.
Pretty
like
good,
this.
Right, Zoe? Pretty good. Pretty talented.
I don't know. I didn't see it, but I saw it like after it. Watched the tape of it. She looked pretty talented.
Of course.
Me being not musically inclined like Hardy, our music expert over there, thought that was pretty cool.
Hardy was very upset about the praise for the two pianos.
Angry old white guy like Mike Francesa, you know?
Two peas in a pod. Hardy and Francesa yesterday.
What Francesa said?
Griping about the Grammys.
And I can tell I wasn't griping about the Grammys. I was griping about all the people who were all just falling all over themselves. Look at Alicia Keys playing two pianos. Like, is she playing two pianos with one hand? Because that would be impressive. When you have two keyboards in front of you and you have two hands, what's the big deal? And everybody agreed with me. Everybody.
I agree.
Including you.
I agree.
So don't try and set me
not
up.
Not as impressive as they're trying to make it out to be.
No,
I'm
don't
not
put me
nearly
in the same
as angry as you are.
With friends.
I'm not angry about it at all, actually. I think you're an entertainer. You're putting on a show. That was a great look to put on a show and put on a performance. It was a great look. You can't deny that. Whether it was actually necessary is a different discussion. No, I don't think it was probably necessary, but it made for a great look. Aesthetically, it was a good part of the show.
Stupid.
Sitting there between two pianos.
Pointless.
Probably.
Francesa.
But entertaining, nonetheless. By the way, we got some feedback yesterday. Oh, why are you guys hating on the Grammys? We didn't hate on the Grammys.
I watch them every year.
Yeah, I by the way.
I don't.
I didn't think they were bad.
I care less about the Grammys.
I actually prefer, I like that they do more performances now than ever before.
Yeah.
It's jam-packed performances end to end. I prefer that over what it used to be, like the great buildup for the awards. Who cares about the awards? It's about the live music show. But anyway, Mike Francesa yesterday, he's still into the awards. What did he have to say about the Grammys?
And I can tell you, the record of the year, I had not heard of any of the records.
What?
I was zero for all the records. That's on me, I guess. I had never heard of any of the records of the year. Zero. I'd heard of Cardi B. As a matter of fact, I got Cardi B wrong last week. They did a thing with me last week where they had up these put up these pop culture people and they made me guess which ones I could guess and not guess. I got her wrong. I got like 9 out of 12, but I got her wrong. So I didn't know her from Adam. So I didn't know her.
Childish Gambino. You're not a big Childish Gambino fan? He won best record.
I had never heard of him either, okay? And he didn't even talk. The other guy comes up and talks. The other producer, the other guy didn't talk. The other guy's Childish Gambino, right? Is that him?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't say anything.
That's what I'm saying.
So I don't know. I never heard of him. No, I can tell you right now, every song they mentioned or every record they mentioned, I had never heard of any one of them. Not one record that I heard of. So I was like, okay, this isn't going good. I'm telling you, the music at that thing, I mean, think about how many great performers have graced that stage. I don't get it. This music today is terrible.
I agree. I'm with him on that. Hardy, what's the last record you bought?
The record?
Like a new record?
A record.
I'm with them on this, though.
No,
like,
I got the
2018 release Jim Blossoms record. I got that record.
Dude, that video you sent the other day?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was good stuff, huh?
That was awesome.
That's good stuff.
I'd be snapping out in that room. Like, how are you just sitting there?
But I listened to new music, too. Now, I don't pretend to know every single artist that was nominated for, like, Best New Artist or even Record of the Year.
Oh, but you know, like, if Taylor Swift had a great year
yeah,
or
I know
some new
Cardi
country.
B and
yeah.
Post Malone and, yeah, Childish Gambino. Sure.
But I understand what he's saying. Like, even the Oscars, why I don't even watch the Oscars anymore, because these weren't even out in theaters. Like, you didn't even, when's the last time they were in a theater? You couldn't even remember the titles of these movies.
Well, do you feel compelled every year to watch a couple
I'd
of
the
movies?
I'd watch the Grammys instead of the Oscars if I had a gun to the head. Which one do you have to pick?
Well, right. They're more entertaining.
Right.
Grammys has actual entertainment value to it.
Well, and the Oscars, everybody's full of themselves.
Yeah, and Oscars, like Fred Toucher says many times, it's finally a night for people in Hollywood to be recognized and celebrated. Like, that's really what they need, these poor people. They just walk through life without anybody fawning over them at any other given moment. So thank God for the Oscars. But for the Oscars, do you feel compelled to try and watch a couple of the Best Picture nominees so you have an idea whether or not, like, something was worthy of being nominated or if it ends up winning? I always want to see it.
Only because I think if it's up for that, it's probably a good movie
yeah,
to watch.
Yeah, that's number one.
Yeah.
But you also want to have, like, some idea. I think I've only seen one so far.
What's up for it?
The only one I've seen is Vice.
Oh, is that good?
Not really.
No.
Miami Vice?
It's okay. Christian Bale's good. But in terms of like a standalone movie,
what is Christian Bale not good in?
True, he's good. Bit of a head case.
Batman.
It's good. Makes him a good actor. But in terms of like just a standalone movie that you're going to sit down and watch 10 years from now, no, it's not it. I told you the best movie I saw last year was the climbing documentary, Free Solo, and that's nominated for best documentary. If that doesn't win, I don't know what to do. This is one of the best movies I've ever seen. Period. It's unbelievable.
It's like cliffhanger.
No, it's not. No, that was made up, and that's Sylvester Stallone.
No, but that was very, very well filmed.
I've seen one of the best picture nominees. I saw Black Klansman.
How was it?
Great. It was
okay.
Really good.
Black Klansman, I would like to
it's
see.
Good movie.
I've been in the right mood for it.
Oh, it's good.
What kind of mood do you have to be in for that?
I don't know. Like,
it's funny. Like, there are a lot of funny things
wow.
in there.
Mostly, I've been in the mood for just watch Notting Hill again when it's on.
Oopsie daisies.
And Viggo Mortensen for leading actor. Green Book, by far, hands down, by a mile, best movie I saw this year. Hands down, one of the best movies I've seen in years. And the premise is this guy who is a typical guy who worked at the Coper? As Italian could be.
The Coper Cabana? He calls it the Coper?
In the late 50s. He gets laid off.
Yeah. At the Coper.
They're doing They shut the Coper for a couple of months.
I can't listen to him.
Jim,
I really can't.
We should pull up the stuff from the snowstorm.
You want to know why? Because I know how much money that guy makes.
As you know.
And the fact that people listen to him, and that drives me batty.
Here, here's the problem. There's a movie in here that I never even heard of. I've heard of all the movies that are in the Best Picture nominee class. What's the favorite?
The favorite for winning Best Picture?
No, it's called The Favorite.
Oh, yeah, I keep seeing that one, too.
Yeah, what is that?
I
don't know what that one is.
I don't know.
Black Panther, which will probably win.
Black Panther.
I don't think it will.
I mean, really?
I think most people think it's
I.
You know
I,
what it is?
I hung every second in that movie. That movie was awesome.
Black Panther
was unbelievable.
Everyone who's seen it says it's great.
I've seen every freaking like.
How was
Spider-Man
Rhapsody?
Marvel?
See
movie?
Bohemian Rhapsody?
Did not.
No.
I heard it sucked.
I hear there's a lot of Queen music in it.
Yeah.
What's the one with God?
I heard the movie was a huge letdown.
What about that Brad Stars Born? Is that up?
That is one of them.
Yeah,
Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, Favorite, Green Book, which Francesa says best movie seen in years, Roma, Star is Born, and Vice.
Roma is...
Yeah, those are the eight movies.
Italian as Italian can get. Like,
the culture. Short of brilliant.
My favorite.
Green Book.
Yeah.
My brother John told me about it first, he's got to see Green Book. I watched it. Viggo Mortensen, I know everybody wants to give the guy who played Freddie Mercury the Oscar. Vice was so badly done. I can't tell you. I was so disappointed. I wanted to see Vice for so long. I finally went and saw Vice. I finally saw Vice. They sent me a copy. Screen Actors Guild sent me a copy.
You didn't go and see it anywhere.
So that's not like,
you saw it in your living room.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Screen Actors Guild.
Sent me a preview copy.
Sounds like Francesa and I agree on Vice, too.
I watched it in my living room.
Could have been so good.
Living room.
It's just okay.
That's what I did.
Here's what I heard about Black Panther, Beetle.
Why?
It's kind of like when they gave Scorsese Best Picture or Best Director, whatever they gave him for The Departed. It was like, you know what? We've screwed you over for so long, and you have really been victimized by this whole awards thing with all
Black
your
Panther?
Great movies. No. That they finally just gave it to him, you know, for one of his movies. I think what they're doing with Black Panther is all these action movies, all these superhero movies.
Oh, my God.
And so many of them have been
special effects
so loved and so celebrated, from Iron Man to Wonder Woman, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Finally, there's like, okay, here's one that we'll nominate. And, you know, just to show that we're not anti-superhero movie. But in terms of, I haven't seen it. But people who watch all these movies say, like, yeah, it's good, but it's not even like the best of its genre, much less the best movie of the year.
Yep. So up for Best Supporting Actor is Mahershala Ali. I have a question for the audience. Tweet me if you want. Is True Detective Season 3 any good?
Oh, you haven't watched any of it
yet? No, I've DVR'd it, but I haven't watched it because Season 2 was so disappointing. I wanted to know if it was any good before I invested any amount of time, even 5 minutes into it.
Yes.
Because I like him a lot.
Right.
I think he's good.
Yes. Still doesn't approach season one, but very watchable. Yes.
And he's one of the detectives, right?
Yeah. You should watch it.
All right. Let me know about that.
I just let you know.
You should watch it. I want more than just your opinion. I mean, I trust your opinion, but it'd be better if I had more than one person saying it.
That's it.
Zoe just watches reality TV and Alaskan cavemen or whatever.
The Office.
It is. Nope. Goobers in the weeds. And
nope. I did watch The Office last night. I did.
Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.